Our reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life more than food? Not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If I ask how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's so easy for us to worry about all sorts of things. Some of us will start to worry as soon as we wake up about what you've got to do that day. You worry when you're brushing your teeth that you've not made an appointment at the dentist. You worry when you're eating your breakfast that you're not getting enough calcium in your diet. You worry on your way out of the house in case you've left the gas hob on, even though you've got an electric hob. You worry when you're drinking your first cup of coffee that you're drinking too much caffeine. Worry and anxiety take you through the day until you get to the point you're in bed and you're lying there worrying about everything, instead of dropping off to sleep. Worry and anxiety can be a reality in our lives to some extent for all of us. Some of us worry about our finances. Some of us worry about our health. Some of us worry about our families. Some of us worry about our church. We worry about climate change. We worry about petrol prices because of the US war in Iran. Some of our worries are justified. If you find a strange lump, it's not wrong to worry about it and consult a doctor. If you don't have enough money in the bank to pay the bills, it's not wrong to worry. If a member of our family, one of our families is going through a really difficult time, it's not wrong to worry. However, many of our worries are not about significant things. Many of our worries come from our own imaginations and false expectations. Our worries can be a sign of a problem within us. We've bought into a false view of what life should be like, and we worry when we don't achieve that false goal. We worry unnecessarily, and it costs us. Jesus, from our reading in the Sermon on the Mount, says, do not worry. But I don't think he's saying worry in itself is wrong. It's where worry leads us that he's concerned about. Does your worry lead you to trusting God or trying to sort out that problem or hold on to the problem for yourself? Jesus is saying, don't worry without seeking the kingdom God first. Here in this passage, as he is all through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is addressing his disciples. He's not talking to the crowds in general or the Pharisees or the teachers of the law, and he's also not talking directly to us. He was speaking to a first century audience, a first century Jewish audience who were immersed in their culture, values, and norms. And more specifically, his words were addressed to a specific group of people who were already committed to following him. To put aside worry in your life in the way that Jesus is talking about can only come if you first had a life-transforming encounter with Jesus, and that the Holy Spirit is continuing that transforming work in your life. It's not to say if you haven't chosen yet to follow Jesus, you'll not gain much from what he's saying. Because we all struggle with worry and anxiety. But to fully experience the freedom Jesus offers, you need to personally seek to inhabit the kingdom of God. Jesus begins his teaching here by simply saying, "Do not worry," something that he repeats twice more during this passage. Jesus here is building on teaching that he's done earlier in the Sermon on the Mount about the danger of money and possessions destroying your faithfulness to God. And here he deals with a related but less material idol that can come and dominate your thinking and lead you from faithfulness to God: worry and anxiety. Jesus is saying, don't worry, because worry can lead you to a lifestyle that is not in line with God's kingdom. Just in the same way that anger and lust can lead to a lifestyle that is not in line with God's kingdom, followers of Jesus also need to put aside worry, because it can lead to a lifestyle that is not in line with God's kingdom. Instead of worrying, a disciple of Jesus needs to hold on to and trust that God will provide for all that you need. Worry substitutes trust in God for trust in your own resources, trust in material resources as being the solution for your anxiety. These become your God. And a disciple of Jesus needs to decide which God they're going to follow. The worry Jesus is concerned about here is the anxious endeavor to secure your own needs. It relates to where you put your faith and trust in life. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 writes about how we should respond to worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. He's saying in your worry turn to God and his faithfulness, which is the same as Jesus is saying. We will worry in our lives. But Jesus is saying, what are you going to do when you worry? Turn to God. Give your anxiety to God. Jesus' disciples, those he was primarily addressing, were not the poorest members of society. They weren't the richest members of society. They had what they needed. And Jesus is saying they needed to continue to trust God for that. Jesus is not speaking here to those who were desperately poor, those who had nothing. He's not telling the poorest who have nothing that they need not worry. He's talking to those who had enough, saying that they don't need to strive for more than their daily bread. What they have is sufficient for a full life. And that's where the two illustrations that Jesus shares comes in. The first one turns to the natural world. And Jesus says, you can see the provision of God at work. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. And you can see the world is alive with God's presence and provision. The birds live from day to day through God's provision. The flowers are beautifully clothed by God. Why would a disciple of Jesus expect their heavenly Father to be less concerned about them? Jesus then contrasts his Jewish background disciples to Gentiles. Nearby to Galilee were the Roman towns of Sepphoris and Tiberias, where the pursuit of wine, woman, song, and opulence were a way of life. And Jesus asks his disciples, do you really want to be like these folks? These pagans didn't know or trust God. And they pursue all these things to satisfy the cravings of their hearts. Jesus' disciples didn't need to do this. God knows what you need and provides for what you need. Jesus' illustrations lead him to the counterpoint to the human tendency to worry. Jesus says that his disciples need to pursue one strategy to calm their worries and fears. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. Simple, isn't it? Don't worry. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all you need will be given to you. God's kingdom is God's plan for redemption for the world that's come into being in Jesus. God's righteousness is what God wants for our lives, the way we live and the way we act. So if we live out the values and virtues of the kingdom, we will have what we need. A disciple needs to seek, to pursue, to focus on, to act in a way that means they're completely focused on that goal. Like an Olympic athlete who gives everything for the quest for a gold medal. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness with every fiber of your being. We do this by devoting ourselves to knowing more of God, discovering more of God's vision for our lives, committing ourselves to see that vision fulfilled. Choosing to not worry, but instead trust in God's kingdom. His kingdom purposes and commit to them. The opposite for worry for a follower of Jesus is to be trust in God. And Jesus makes it sound so simple. However, putting aside worry isn't easy, because worry isn't a piece of clothing that can be given away. It's something much more deeply rooted in our lives. It can become that idol, like money or possessions or anger or lust, that we choose to worship. An idol is anything that we choose to worship apart from God, anything that we choose to center our lives on other than Jesus. Jesus is telling his disciples here that they don't need to worry about things that the aspirations of their culture said they needed to have sorted in order for them to feel content. Worrying about these things was not to be the way of following Jesus. Keeping up with the Joneses is an idiom which was derived from a comic strip in the early 20th century, and it's about comparing yourself to your neighbour. Failure to keep up with the Joneses is perceived as a demonstration of socioeconomic or cultural inferiority. If you don't dress the right way, if you don't have the right car, if your lawn is not perfect, then you're said to not be keeping up with the Joneses. And this is perhaps the cultural worry that parallels the one that Jesus was speaking into here. The worry that we're not like everyone else around us, that we don't fit in. Jesus' disciples were going to have a hard time going forward. They were not going to fit in for a few hundred years. They were going to be actively persecuted. And we probably still, as Jesus' followers today, shouldn't fit in with the world around us. But Jesus is saying we shouldn't worry about not fitting in with the world around us. That we shouldn't worry about not fitting in with what the norm of the world is. But instead, we should hold on to the way of his kingdom and his righteousness. Stop worrying about that kind of stuff, and instead focus on following me the best you can. Bobby McFerrin wrote a song, I think probably in the 60s, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." A song that expresses that if we just wish something to be better, it will be. But life doesn't work like that. And Certainly the Christian life doesn't work like that. If we stop worrying about one thing, we'll usually just end up worrying about something else. We need for something to come and replace our tendency to worry about things with something else, a new priority, a new guiding purpose, a new desire in our hearts. And Jesus gives us that, replacing the tendency to worry with a tendency to trust God. And it's a choice we can make, a choice to root ourselves firmly in the kingdom of God. Seek to calm your worry and anxiety for the things of this world by drawing near to God. When the longings of your heart and mind pull you towards the shiny baubles of this world, put more and more of your trust instead in God's kingdom purposes and way of life. As followers of Jesus, our identity is to be found in Christ alone. We are to be no longer children of this world, but citizens of God's kingdom. And this priority change that Jesus calls his disciples to is not easy. But it is possible for those who choose to follow Jesus. We're to leave behind our old lives and put on our new life in Christ. That is living the resurrection. Live as if we know that God is the one who's created all things and sustains all things by his gracious and faithful covenant love. Jesus didn't spend his time on earth worrying about things. He got on with doing the things that God called him to do. He probably had very little in terms of possessions in his life, no more than he could carry, but he seemed to have everything he needed. And when he didn't have something, he probably just prayed about it. We're not called to be wandering rabbis in the Jewish countryside. We're called to live as followers of Jesus in the 21st century. But we also need to learn to let go of worry by seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness and find out how that will be shaped in our lives, how that will be shaped in a Jesus-looking life. But the same principles apply. Allow God's Spirit to push aside worry and anxiety and instead shepherding God's plans and purposes. Our priority as disciples of Jesus today is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all you need will be given to you as well. Our identity as followers of Jesus is to be based on seeking to live in God's kingdom in a way that shows we are citizens of that kingdom. When you're worried, seek God and his kingdom. Seek Jesus and his way, and you will find fullness. Let us come to sing our final song this morning, one that affirms our dependency upon Christ in all things. In Christ alone, my hope is found.